in the book of James. I have read this text the last Sunday, and then also I shared some things with you briefly on Wednesday night. But I felt impressed of the Lord to come back to this passage of Scripture. Our theme all of this year is going to be on this, closer to Him and more like Him. Closer to Him and more like Him. The closer you get to Him, the more you're going to be like Him. That's just the way it works. We love Him because He first loved us, and we thank the Lord for that. This is one of our truck driver friends right here, I think. He called her ahead of time. He was going to stop in. God bless you, bro. We're sure glad. Let's make him welcome this morning. Amen. Thank you for being here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And brother, tell me where you're from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Praise God. Appreciate you being here. All you folks that live above Virginia, say amen. All right. We got some down here. Amen. I'm being politically correct. Amen. I love you. God bless you. In the book of James, look with me, please. Drawing closer to Him and more like Him. If you get close to Him, you'll be more like Him. Because everything in us that's not like Him is revealed the closer we get to Him. We stay away from Him, get away from Him. We think we're doing pretty good. But you know what? The closer we get to Him, the more of our flesh we see, the more of our old nature we see. We don't think right. We don't have a right kind of heart. And the closer we get to Him, the more we see of ourselves. But oh, listen, like John said, He must increase, I must decrease. That's what it's all about. Now, James is somebody said, it's a pretty tough book. He didn't cut any slack. So let's look at James chapter 4, if you will, please. And I'll deal with this morning as God will help me. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and ye desire to have, and can obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now, that's not my text, but I want to make a comment. He's simply challenging those that he's writing to and the Holy Ghost to us through him, that friendship with the world, living like the world, acting like the world, thinking like the world, is enmity with God. In other words, it is a battle between our spirit man and our old nature. And he said, if you're going to be friends with the world, you can't really be friends with God. Now, that doesn't mean we don't enjoy God's creation. That's not what it's talking about at all. But it's talking about the thought of the world, the actions of the world, the sin of the world. He addresses them as adulterers and adulteresses. And that's not only in the physical sense, although that may be the case in some situation. But here again, he says that it's like being unfaithful to a husband or to a wife. You have a marriage bond. And yet, when you are in love or you have an affair with somebody else, that breaks that marriage bond. You can't have closeness. You can't have fellowship. And so he said, while we're in the world, we can't have that kind of relationship with the world, that we won't be the Christian God wants us to be. And then he said, the Scripture doesn't speak in vain, that the Spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy. Now, we don't necessarily, that doesn't ring sound to us sometime when it says the Spirit of God lusteth to envy. But what it means is this, that the Holy Spirit of God inside of us desires for us to be intimate with Him and with Him alone. He desires for us to be close to Him and that we would be in harmony with Him and in step with Him. Now, notice the rest of the passage of Scripture. He said this in verse number 5. He said, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth envy? But He giveth more grace, therefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Now, that's in that context of being able to live out of in fellowship with God and at a distance from the world. Now, you say, Brother Bill, how in the world can we live for God now in 2018 with all that's going on? That God surely doesn't expect us to live clean or to live right or to have fellowship with Him. He said, listen, here's the secret to it. He said, it is God's grace. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. When you and I do what Paul did, you know what Paul did? Paul said, I know that is in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. When we get honest before God and say, God, I can't do this without You. Lord, I've got to have Your help. God, I'm weak in the flesh. When I went to school in Bible college down in Florida, I went with a brother named Joe Doucette. He was a Cajun. I mean, he had that Cajun accent. He was raised in it all of his life. His whole life was spent in gambling and drinking and all types of sin. And God saved him miraculously there in Louisiana. And Joe came to school at Bible college, but Joe couldn't read. He couldn't read one word. And his wife went to every class with him, and she studied with him. And when they got home, they went over together. And God had a touch on him. God had called him to preach. And I had old Joe to come preach for me. And I had heard about him preaching all over the area and people getting saved and how God was using him. He's a great big old fella. And he came in and we prayed. And then before he preached, I never will forget the prayer. He prayed. He said, God, thank You for saving me. But if You don't help me, Joe will make a mess. I can't do this without You. God, take over now. And boy, that stuck in my heart. Without You, Joe will make a mess. Without You, Billy will make a mess. Without Him, you'll make a mess. If you understand that if you're going to live for God, it's not spiritual arrogance. It's not proud. Pride, I'm better than anybody else. It is humility, recognizing that you're flesh and that you got to have God and you depend on Him. And so with that said, now look at the next statement, what he said there as he mentioned this in verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The first step is our submission to God, yielding to Him and giving our whole life to Him in every area. He said, then if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You see, we try to fight the devil off and try to fight the flesh off by ourselves. But it's a matter of us yielding and surrendering to God before we can ever see victory. He resisted the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And then He said, now submit yourself to God. Surrender to God and say, God, I can't do this. The Bible said, take heed that thinks he stands, lest you fall. When you think you've really got it, boy, you really are super spiritual, and man, you're right on top, you better be careful. You need to walk humbly before God, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now look at verse number 8, and here is where I'll share with you just a few moments. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one with another. He that speaketh evil with his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou be judge of the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know what, not what should be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a while over time and it vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting, and all such boasting or rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to do it not, to him it is sin. Will you bow with me for just a brief prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you now for allowing us to be here today. God, thank you for the singing. And our Father, we all confess before you this morning that we're not worthy of salvation, but God, thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for the singing this morning of the group, Our Father, reminding us what it is to be a child of the King, to be born again by the grace of God. And Lord, for the precious song of the choir and God anointing that, Lord, we know this, that God, that you're with us. Thank you, God, for that. And Lord, I pray now that, Lord, you'd be with me. Lord, these people come this morning not to hear me or their singing. They want to hear from God. They need you to speak to them. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd do that. I pray, God, you'd give a word this morning. God, I pray you'd breathe. God, help us, Lord Jesus, to be obedient to you. God, I pray you'd move far from my mind and heart anything that would hinder the flow of God. God, I want to thank you for calling me, the gift and calling of God's without repentance. Pray, God, you'd purge me now. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and give me that anointing which makes the difference. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Now, here's the crux of the whole matter. James has pointed out to us, remind us what we are. We are saved by the grace of God, but we are still flesh. We're still in a body of flesh. And you and I have to live our lives totally in submission to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, and He'll flee from you. And so His admonition to us and the remedy for that is to draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Now, Wednesday night, I briefly defined that word, and I think I did last Sunday morning as I talked to you about what it means to draw nigh. I went through Webster's dictionary, the 1828 edition, and looked at all the definitions of the word draw, and boy, what a blessing it is, and has so many wonderful parts to it, and thank God for it. But basically, it means this. It means to move or to advance. Now, sometimes we think about drawing nigh to God. It means that we'll come to a point, and that'll be, here's point A and here's point B, and we want to get to point B, and point B is where we're going to stand. That's not it at all. The word draw nigh to God, this phrase draw nigh to God, has this implication. The word itself means to move or to advance. It is a continual moving. It is going this way. It is following the Lord. It is walking with the Lord. The Bible says, He abideth in me, and I in Him. He asked, what do we do it? He said, be ye followers of me. We're to follow Him. And so consequently, when it says draw nigh to God, it doesn't mean that you're going to get to a point where you say, praise God, I got here. It is an ongoing process in your daily life. Consequently, when He gets down to it, He said, you say you're going to do this today, this tomorrow. He said, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will. He's emphasizing to us a daily walk with the Lord. In 2018, if we're going to get closer to Him, it's going to be a daily thing. It'll be an hourly thing. It'll be us continually walking with Him. It's going to be us following Him, obeying Him, and it's going to be moving with Him as He moves. It is our staying in step with Him, in harmony with Him. We are not going to get to the place where we have arrived. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting of those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Oh, you say, well, Brother Billy, that sounds tiring. No, it's not tiring. You remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? The Bible said they walked with Him, and they didn't realize it was even Him, but the Bible said He opened to them the Scriptures. And then, consequently, after a while, He was gone out of their sight. After some time, He'd spent time in fellowship with them, broke bread, their eyes were open, they knew it was Him, and then He left. But they made this statement, said, did not our hearts burn within us when He opened to us the Scriptures? You see, the closer you get to Him, the sweeter it is. The more that I love Him, the more I trust Him. The more I know about Him, the more I'm blessed by His presence and His power. It's a daily thing, but it is not a daily drudgery. It's not a daily duty. It is a daily delight. That's what He wants us to do, to draw closer to Him, to get closer to Him. Now watch, I thought about this little phrase, and I'll repeat myself from Wednesday night a little bit. He said, draw nigh to God. And I mentioned Wednesday night, there's some overriding principles in all the Scriptures you need to keep in mind. But one of those is this. He said in John chapter, in the Word of John, God in John, He said, without me, you can do nothing. He said in John 6, verse 44, that no man can come to the Father except he draw him. And so now he says, you need to draw nigh to God. Well, what he's saying is the same thing James said. James said, submit yourself to God, and he'll bless you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. First of all, I want you to understand, there must be, if you're going to get close to him in 2018, there must be this request. Draw me, in Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 4, the bride says, draw me and we will run after thee. If he's the only one who can draw us to God, is he the one who can draw us to himself, then we need to come to him and say, God, I want to draw near to you. Will you draw me? Will you draw me? I looked up this word draw, and you know what one part of it means? It means to entice or to allure, to influence or to excite one. And my dear friend, when God begins to deal with our heart, he begins to draw us. He begins to minister to our heart. He begins to excite our heart. He begins to allure us. When God draws us into that, you can't do it in the flesh. You can't just say, I'm going to do this. But you can come humbly before him and submit yourself to God and say, God, will you draw me? And God will put a want to in your heart. He said in the Word of God, he said, in the day of his power, his people will be made willing. I don't want to ask you, raise your hand. How many of you have ever made a fresh start over and over and over again? How many of you have ever made a commitment over and over again? I made a commitment. I've been making resolution for 71 years. I finally got it right. So January, I resolved this. I resolved I'm going to gain a few pounds in 2018. I resolved I'm not going to run unless somebody's chasing me. And so I finally found something I can keep. And the truth of the matter, our spiritual resolves made in the flesh, we don't keep. But if we walk humbly before the Lord, if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll submit ourselves and seek him and say, oh God, I want to. You remember the story in the Bible where the Lord said, all things are possible if you believe? And the man said this, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When you come to the Lord humbly and you say, boy, if you say, God, I really believe you, I really believe you, I really believe you, in the back of your mind, you're saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I've learned this over the, I don't know much, but I've learned this. If you'll be honest with him and you say, God, I believe, help my unbelief. God, I want to, but God, I know my flesh. God, help me. If you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you and he'll deal with you in that way. But now notice this, look in your Bible, please, John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, I want you to look at verse number 8. There must, first of all, be a request. There's got to be that desire in your heart, and here's what you can do. If you ask him to draw you, he said, without me, you can do nothing. God, draw me. He said this in the book of Matthew. That request has to be genuine. In Matthew, in look at chapter 15, look at verse 8. This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, if you really want to get close to him, if you really want to get closer to him in 2018, there first must be this desire, there must be this request, but it's got to be real and genuine. Praying God to make it real to your heart. That you come to him honestly and admit to him, God, I can't do this, but you can. God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. And God, I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But God, you're able. And God, I want you to do something in my heart. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, God says this about the nation of Israel. He said, I have drawn you with cords of love. Boy, listen, you know what he can do? He can draw you with cords of love. He can arouse in you your love for the Savior, your love for the Word of God. He can draw us with cords of love. If you'll get honest with him and come before him and say, God, I want you to really do work my heart. I want to get close to you. I want to walk with you. I want to be more like you. And do it with all your heart, not with your mouth, not with your lips, but with your heart. He'll let you do that. He'll draw you in just that way. There has to be that proper asking. He said, in James, you ask, but you have not, that you might consume it on your own lust. You know what? It's even possible for you to pray for the closeness of God or the power of God and consume it on your own lust. You want people to think you're a good singer, a good preacher, a good this, a good that. But if it's honest prayer, if it's an honest prayer, seeking Him honestly and seeking Him with all your heart, got to do it. Draw nigh to God. There must be this honest request to do that. Now listen, if you'll do that, if you get honest with God, I found out that if you'll be honest with God, business picks up. That's a good theological term, isn't it? You know what James said? James said, if you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. Last Sunday, I used it illustrating about the magnets. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. But when you get God moves in your heart and you're honest about getting close to Him, He'll draw you. He'll begin to get close to you. He wants to. He wants to be close to you. He wants you to be in fellowship with Him. And when you get honest before God, He'll draw you. Now, on Wednesday night, I shared this with the church, and I hope you'll get it, because it has sure blessed my heart. He said, I've drawn you with cords of love. No man can come to the Father except by me. And He said, no man can come except the Father draw him. And then a place He said that you cannot come except the Spirit of God draw you. Spirit of God draw you. Now, if you have an earnest request, I don't know about you, but I know me. I know how easy it is for me to be out of fellowship with God, how cold I can get, and what inability I have to be faithful and consistent. But boy, this blessed me. I got to looking at the definitions of draw. And one of the definitions of draw is a nautical term. And I've always loved ships and sailing and boats, and whether they're a aluminum boat or don't make any difference to me, just any kind of boat. I've always liked boats. I just like to be on the water. But you know, I'm fascinated by ships. I've never been on a real huge sailing ship, but I had a preacher friend down in Florida one time that had, it wasn't a huge sailboat, but it was a pretty good size sailboat. Had a little cabin on it and all. Had a little motor kicker, what they call on the back of it. We went out of the little harbor there and went out and got out in the Gulf of Mexico. And he did what they call tacking. The wind was blowing and the sails were flapping. And you know, it was wonderful. The water was lapping up on the boat and you could hear the sails flapping. But he was sailing into the wind. And you can do that. They do what they call tacking. You want to go toward that exit sign. And so you go this way a little bit because you're catching just down the wind at an angle. And you go this way a little ways and you tack. You can go back and forth, back and forth. And you can actually sail into the wind because you turn your sail just right and it catches. But there's always a fluttering. Well, we got out. I don't know. It must have been a mile out. And he turned that thing. He turned the boat. The sails collapsed. And he turned it around and got the boat turned, or the ship turned around. And when he did, he did all the rope business and all the levers and everything else. And that main sail opened up. It ballooned up. And he got that thing turned just right. And that sail billowed out. The smaller sails billowed out. Just like you see on pictures, you know, sometimes. All the sails were billowed out. And it went to flying across the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, it was going amazing. I didn't hear the flutter of the wind anymore. All I could hear was on the very front of that bow of that ship, the water lapping. And we were flying across there. You know what the term is when you get the billows, those sails billowed out with the wind, and they're completely full in full sail, going with the full force of the wind? It's called the draw of the sail. My dear friend, when I'm in a mess and you're in a mess and we don't know where to go or what to do, if we get honest before Him and confess, God, there's no good thing in me, humble ourselves before God, submit ourselves before God, the Bible said He'll draw us. You say, how does He do that? Well, He draws us with cords of love. But He draws us by the Holy Spirit of God. When those sails get billowed out, man, listen, that thing is driven by the wind. When the Spirit of God draws, I mean, He gets you, you're just full of God drawing Him to Himself. What a wonderful thing that is. And He'll do that for anybody. that really wants it. How do you know that? How does he know you really want it? James said this, you cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. He really wants it if you're willing to give up the things in the world that are hindering you from sailing. When you get to the place, you've got things in your heart. Now, here's what he'll do. You don't have to wonder what they are. And when you get honest before God and say, God, I want to get close to you, he'll start putting his finger on everything in your life. He'll deal with them one by one. You get honest, you confess it, you forsake it. And I'll tell you, he'll draw you. He'll put that want to in your heart. He'll draw you to himself. Draw him to yourself. Oh, listen, you say, Brother Billy, why would I want to do that? Oh, the blessed benefits of being close to him. There's nothing like it. When you get close to him, my dear friend, listen, you can feel his heartbeat. The Bible said of John, he leaned on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of the disciples ever heard what John heard. Jesus was sitting and John leaned on his breast. He heard the heartbeat of the Savior. My dear friend, when you get close to him, you can hear his heartbeat. You'll feel the warmth of it, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll give you a peace of God that passeth all understanding, and he'll fill you with power. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. What a wonderful thing it is to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd have power in prayer. You got family, you got friends, you got needs, you got burdens. The way you get your prayers answered is to get close to him. He that abideth in me and my word abide in him. He can ask what he will and I'll do it. You know what? John not only heard what other people had never heard, he saw some things that other people hadn't seen. On the Isle of Patmos, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then God showed him all of the book of Revelation. When you get close to God, my dear friend, you can feel his heartbeat. You'll feel the warmth, the love of the Savior. You'll feel the peace of God that passes understanding. You experience the power of God that it's unimaginable. But he'll show you things from this book that'll bless you and make you a blessing to other people that you can share the Word of God. My dear friend, he wants you to be in fellowship with him. He wants you to be closer to him in 2018, closer to him and more like him. Draw me. It starts with this request. Draw me. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this morning if God spoke to your heart in some way. You're in the radio audits, you're in the media audits, you've never been saved. You can know this closeness. You can know what it is to be born again. You can know what it is to be saved if you'll but look to the Lord. There's an old song I've been kind of singing this week. I wouldn't torment you by singing it to you. Written by a fellow by the name of Charles Gabriel. And here's what it says. More like the Master I would ever be, more of his meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor, more courage to be true, more consecration for works he has me do. More like the Master in my daily prayer, more strength to carry the crosses I must bear, more earnest effort to rescue souls from sin, more of his Spirit to wander, to win. More like the Master I would live and grow, more of his love to others I would show, more self-denial his in Galilee, more like the Master I long ever to be. Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thy own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I implore, wash me and keep me for thine forevermore. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that God, you loved us and you died for us, gave your Son to die for us. And Lord, right now, people in the media audience and in this great auditorium, this great crowd here this morning, Lord, I don't know who's saved and who's not saved, but God, I know that you want every one of them saved because you came to give your life a ransom that they might be saved. And God, I pray right now that God, that they would understand that salvation comes by faith and belief and a request as well. Lord, you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God, if there's anybody in this building that really wants to go to heaven, anybody in the media arts that really wants to go to heaven, they can go by simply coming by faith and asking you to forgive their sin, to save them. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Father, I pray, God, that you'd move, that somebody would trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And Father, I pray you'd help us that as we live for you and walk with you every day, that our Father, it is a daily thing. And our Father, that we only get closer as we request it of you. We must humble ourselves, submit ourselves to you. And our Father, we must draw nigh. And God, we understand that we can't get closer unless you draw us. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would draw me. God, I pray you'd, Lord, make me turn. Draw me. Turn us, Jeremiah said, turn us and we shall be turned. God, draw us to yourself. God, give us the power to resist sin, to turn from our sin. God, give us, Lord, discernment to confess our sin, to be clean before you, to forsake it, and God, to get close to you. Our Father, we know that's where we'll find real joy. That's where we'll find real peace. That's where we'll find real power. And God, I pray you'd help your people to be a witness. God, I pray you'd do in us now. God, help us every day, Lord, to seek your face and get up every day wanting to be closer to you, more like the Master I would ever be, more of your meekness, more humility. Oh, God, I pray you'd help us. God, I pray you'd move now. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed, eyes are closed? We'll not keep you long this morning, but I do want to give you a chance to respond to the Word of God this morning, to the singing, to the woo of the Holy Ghost of God. I wonder this morning, is there a Christian here in the building or in the media audience? And you say, Brother Billy, I want to get closer. I know that there's some things between me and my Savior. I know there's some things in my life that ought not to be there. I want to confess it. He did say, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. And so I pray you get everything out between you and the Savior. Just confess it this morning. Get honest with him. Ask him. Ask him to draw you. With a pure heart, ask him to draw you, to bring you closer to him. Let the Holy Ghost of God feel that sail of your heart to drive you to him, to send you to him. Draw him by the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, Father, that God, you do that. Now, if that's your request, I encourage you to seek God. Do that. Come around this old-fashioned altar this morning. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I invite you to come to know Christ this morning here in the building. Media audience, either one. I just simply ask you to do this. Just do what God says for you to do. Whatever God spoke to your heart about, if he's made you aware that you're not as close as you ought to be, if you're not on fire as you used to be, if you don't have the joy you used to have or the peace you used to have or the zeal you used to have, confess it and ask him to give it to you. He can do it. He put it in there to start with. He can do it again. He can draw you. He can do it. I ask you to obey God. God, help him now to be obedient to you.